The Purpose Driven Mother Podcast, show number 9. What's going on, Radiant Mothers? I am Alicia Askew, host of the Purpose Driven Mothers Podcast, where mothers are having the conversation not about trying to be the perfect mother, but embracing the woman who they are. Hear from the most courageous and inspiring mothers who share their story on how they went beyond the apron, discovered their purpose, and are achieving their greatest desires. Peeling off the layers of their most vulnerable moments and lessons learned, these mothers have found the drive that they need to help them thrive on their purpose-driven journey. So stay tuned and learn how you can become that purpose-driven mother. All right, Radiant Mothers, I know you are ready to get going with this podcast, but first, I have a special announcement from our sponsor. Moms with Dreams University is that go-to source for ambitious and passionate moms who want to take their life and business to the next phase and gain invaluable knowledge to make their dreams a reality. Erica Gordon, who is the creator of Moms with Dreams University, is proud to announce that registration is now open for the spring 2015 university session. There are so many amazing courses and phenomenal expert women who are leading these courses so that you can begin to live in full elevation and become the woman that you were designed to be. Seats are filling up fast, so go to www.momswithdreamsuniversity.com and register today.
Hey, Radiant Mothers. I am super excited about today's guest, Kiana Shaw. And she has such a powerful and inspiring story. So Kiana is a best-selling author, speaker, master life coach, parent and teen advocate, and a devoted mother to an adorable baby girl. And she left corporate America in 2011. She has decided that she was going to dedicate her life to teaching teen girls leadership and life skills through her nonprofit organization, Village of Truth, as well as her company, Lead Her Ship Academy, a powerful virtual community designed to teach young ladies how to lead their communities. So as a result, teenagers are able to celebrate the increased awareness and financial stability, emotional literacy, and healthier physical habits for a more productive and meaningful life. So I am super excited to go ahead and get started with Kiana that I have here today with me, just sharing her story and all of her insights. All right, Kiana, I love your story. Can you just tell us a little bit about your background and what you do?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you for having me on your show. I really do appreciate it. And let's see, my background, I grew up in Compton, California, and I am one of three siblings. I have two brothers, a twin and an older brother. My parents were married up until I was 13. My dad was a deputy, my mother a dental assistant. And so I grew up with a great family unit. I grew up with several professionals in my family. There was a dark side because I was molested from ages 3 to 11. So there was a dark side to growing up in a family. But outside of those moments, or those years, I should say, outside of those years, I really had a great childhood, full of its ups and downs, of course, but definitely great. My background as far as my companies go, they started in heartbreak. My company, Village of Truth, where I teach life skills to teen girls, started because I found out that my boyfriend of 4 years had been cheating on me for 2. And I just kind of realized that I was just lost, right? Everyone goes, what? Right? And when I add in that she was a distant relative, everyone goes, oh, my God, you have got to be kidding. And it's fine. She and I are great friends today. I love her, and it will shut anybody down behind her. And he and I are really great friends as well, so it's okay. Sometimes those experiences grow us, and it did. It helped me establish my foundation, I remember going to one of my mentors and just going, I don't know what to do with myself. Everything I've done for the last 4 years has been all about him and, you know, his family, his needs. And here I am, like, you know, I've put all this time into this man. I loved him.
Yeah.
And this is what he does. And my mentor just very calmly said, where's your goal list? And I was just like, well, I knew you were going to ask for it, so I did bring it. And he's like, okay, great. What have you done on it? And after discovering that, I really hadn't even touched my goal list since, as a member of our church, it's a requirement if you're in leadership. You have to turn in a goal list. And my mentor is also my pastor. And so when he asked that, I did have my goal list, but I hadn't done anything on it. And we're like in September. And he said, I want you to take this goal list and I want you to go and focus on the goal list. And literally in a couple of weeks, I completed probably 80% of it.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
Can I ask you, do you remember anything that was written on your goal list?
You mean aside from losing weight? Well, it was about the books that I wanted to read. It was about the financial goals that I had, my development as far as professionally, like finishing school, which I was in school at the time, but I wasn't as mentally active as I should have been. It was about, you know, where I wanted to go once I left school professionally, what did I want to do, which all changed as a result of this situation, actually. Not that he was influential in that area, but that my life sort of shifted. And so I had different priorities. And so it was at that time that I decided I want to help women not be in this place. Once I had looked back and saw how much I accomplished, I just didn't want another woman to feel this way or to go through this or to put herself into someone so much that she could not recognize herself when he wasn't there. Exactly. And so I really wanted to just start something for women. And then I realized I've been doing this for years. I've been doing this since I was a kid, since I was, you know, since my very first boyfriend, right? And so then I said, I'm going to help women by getting them in their teen years. So I realized that I just didn't want another woman to go through that. And but then I had been doing it since I was a teenager. And so I said, you know, since my first boyfriend, I just kind of lose myself in these guys. And part of it is my need for emotional attachment and my need to feel protected all the time, which is probably a direct result of what I went through in my childhood. However, I realized that it wasn't a good place. And so I decided that the only way to help women not be the type of woman I had become was to make sure that teenage girls weren't the type of teenage girl I was, right? So although I was extremely smart and I was always in the honors placement, and, you know, book smarts was just not an issue for me.
Right.
But that emotional attachment to an outside source was detrimental in a lot of ways. And so I decided to devote my life to helping teen girls not be that girl, to help them stay focused on their goals, their career, their future.
Yeah. And I absolutely love what you're doing. And just thinking about it, looking back over my life, I was that girl who, if there was an opportunity with a guy and I found it to blossom, I would change pretty much my whole life.
Right. Now your girlfriends aren't your girlfriends anymore.
Right.
We were, you know, I remember my very first boyfriend just kind of wearing bows and stuff because that's what he liked. But I was such a tomboy. And so he gave me one compliment because I had a bow in my hair one day. And then I was, like, bowed up. I had, like, seven bows in my hair.
Yes. And
but I just really wanted to be what he felt was good. And then you do that so long, and then you go, I've always been what someone else thought was good. What do I think is good? What do I want to be? What do I want to do? What makes me feel good about me? What do I like? And I've always had this big personality, partially because I had to, because of the family that I was in. Our family is, I mean, we Our family is loud. Our family is playful. Our family is rambunctious. Our family is, you know, they're political people. They're police officers. They're professionals in so many different arenas. But really, I'm an introvert masquerading as an extrovert. I prefer to be in my own little corner of the world, quiet. I don't even need the TV on, right? I'm a very private person on the inside who lives a very public life on the outside. I'm very transparent, and I think that it serves me well. But at the end of the day, my family doesn't even know that I'm home unless I actually come out. You know, it's like,
right.
Oh, you were here. I didn't see your car. Oh, I parked it on the street. But I kind of do that so that I can have, like, some moments to myself because I really love just being introverted.
Yeah. Wow, I would have never even guessed that about you just because, like, the conversation that we have had, you have just been so open and loving and sharing and caring. So I would have never thought that about you. But
and you know what? And it's not that I'm not an open and loving person. It's just I am who I need to be at the time when it comes to my personality, whether I can be withdrawn. You know, when I'm very quiet, people go, what's wrong? But really, it's my comfort in you. It's that I'm very comfortable with you, so I don't have to be the big personality. I could go ahead and just be Kiana, whoever Kiana is at that moment.
So would you say that you change your personality based on the person who you're with?
No, it's not about changing my personality. It's about what I allow to be present, what I allow to come through in my personality. I don't think it's a change because, again, I am an introverted person, but everyone can't handle that super quiet person. And
right.
So it's not about changing my personality, it's about matching the tone so that everyone stays upbeat, right? Mm-hmm. So when you have someone who's feeling sad, we all go, drop your voice and speak softly, right? And that's not a change in our personality. It's a change to what's going on around us. And then we all have that friend who is like, hey, what's up, girl? So then you're like, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Give me a hug. You know what I mean? And so it's not a change in who you are, but it's a change in the atmosphere. And so you match the tone.
Right.
If that makes sense. Does that make sense?
And I am so glad that you broke that down because for years I have been doing exactly what you have stated, pretty much matching the tone to the environment. And people would always be like, well, you're not being yourself if you have to, you know, scope out the environment to see kind of how to react to it.
Let me give you another way to look at it, if I can. When you're with your friends, your personality may be the same as it is at work, but you don't say the same things with your friends that you say at work. At work, your personality can be big, but when you go into the meeting with your boss's boss, you tone it down because you want to make sure that the focus is on your work, not on your personality. And so, again, it's not about changing who you are. It's, you know, some people would call it code switching. You know, what I say with my homegirls or my sister is not the same that I'm going to say in a business or professional environment. You don't even drink the same things in those environments. What you drink at home while you're watching Scandal is not necessarily appropriate for Monday morning. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Even though you may still feel like you want another drink, right?
Exactly.
And so for Monday morning, you choose coffee. Thursday night, you might choose a glass of wine. And so it's just a matter of, you know, understanding where you are and matching mentally and emotionally what's going on. So it's not about being phony. I think a lot of people say that that's phony, but it's not. It's knowing better. It's knowing better is what it is.
I love
that. And so moving to my current company, Leadership Academy, which is my love, that actually started out of heartbreak as well. My daughter's father and I broke up when I found out I was pregnant. And in the breakup, I just kind of felt like I needed this I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar type of movement to go on. And so Leadership Academy actually started off as a place for single moms to have a voice and a place where we could feel safe and communicate and not worrying about what's said, because we're all kind of going through the same things on a different day. And then for those who have already been through it, they can teach us. And for those who aren't having that issue, great, you can learn how to help somebody else through it. But I kind of felt like, because I know my daughter's father hates when I say I'm a single mom, regardless of the fact that I am one, I kind of felt like I was kind of doing it to jab at him a little bit. And so it didn't feel authentic. It didn't feel like something that my voice should be attached to, not because I'm not a single mom, but because I'm not a vindictive person. And so it kind of felt like I was just kind of sticking it to him a little bit. And so I had to fall back. And so, and then it was out of my range. While I'm a life coach, I didn't necessarily want to be the single mom coach. It just, for a while I was like, well, maybe I'm just not accepting that I'm a single mom. But eventually it was like, no, it's not that. It's just that it doesn't resonate with my spirit. And so let me go back to what I really want to do, which is helping teen girls. And I also spend a lot of time helping their moms, their whoever their guardians are, big sisters, whatever. And so in that, Leadership Academy took a different focus, and I rebranded it to reflect that I am still helping to lead, empower, and give life skills to teen girls. And I'm also helping their parents learn to communicate with them for the purpose of bringing love, joy, and harmony back to the household. Or as my mother would say, so that parents don't kill their kids, right? That's my mom's definition. That's how she shortens it for me. And that made me feel a lot better. I felt like, okay, this is authentic to me. This is my true voice. I don't need to vent about him, because at the end of the day, he is still her father. At the end of the day, while I do tell the story, I don't have to make it about bashing. And so Leadership Academy became a different entity, because I really wanted to focus on my first love, which is helping young ladies.
And that is amazing. And it seems like for a lot of people, their purpose or passion really comes from some kind of heartbreak or setback or something that they discover, and they want to make that different.
Absolutely. When it changes your life, when you go through something that absolutely changes your life or changes your perspective or gives you an aha moment, right, your light bulb goes on, then there's something about those moments that triggers that gut feeling inside of you, and it will either make you stand up for what you believe, or to make you cower down to what you don't believe. And so I just chose to stand up, and I think that a lot of people choose to stand up and make a difference in the world that they're in.
You originally started out with one idea of just helping young teenagers kind of develop their life skills. And so now you have added on an additional purpose to your life. So how does one know when the time is right to either shift their focus on their purpose or to go add a different purpose to kind of develop themselves in their journey?
You know what? I think that either it's that moment that changes everything. As I said before, you know, you can have that aha moment. You can have that horrible moment where something bad happens to you and now it becomes your cause. I think that it's different for everyone. I think that really great parents who do intentional parenting help to foster that in their children. You know, Tiger Woods has always known he was going to be a golfer, right? It's his purpose. It may not be a purpose that, you know, a philanthropist would go, okay, great. But he can use his purpose to do great things in his community, or just to help one kid go to college. I mean, everyone isn't meant to save the world. Sometimes you're just meant to save your house. You know what I mean? So I think that you know it when it happens. And if you don't, I think that it's part of knowing yourself. I think that the best people in the world who are doing the greatest deeds really know themselves. I don't think you can ask Oprah a question about life and she not have an answer, because she knows her.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, and for those people that will be listening and joining me for Project Me, which is rolling out this year, it's all about knowing who you are and what your focus for you is. Because mm-hmm. once you have you down pat, once you know exactly who you are, what it is that you will be doing, then you really learn to bring other people along, whether it's your children,
right.
whether it's your spouse, whether it's the world. You really learn to bring other people along.
I like that. And you had mentioned something about intentional parenting. So what is intentional parenting?
Okay, so intentional parenting is taking your child by the hand and saying, I am going to be completely responsible for you on the good days, on the bad days. It is going to be you and I and our spouse, if we have one, but we're going to sit down and we're going to make sure that we get you everything you need to be a productive member of society.
Mm-hmm.
That's intentional parenting. Intentional mm-hmm. parenting is about taking my daughter's hand. My daughter's only one, but I intentionally make sure she's a reader, right? And mm-hmm. so sometimes that looks like, Kayla, we're turning off Bubble Guppies, and we are going to sit down and read. Other times it's about letting Kayla watch mommy read,
mm-hmm.
right? Because leading by mm-hmm. example is intentional parenting.
Right.
Understanding that we can't just take off our shoes and throw them in the middle of the floor. Intentional parenting is not yelling that the stuff is on the floor. It's about, okay, we're going to make sure that we clean up every day. We're going to make sure that we put things in the right place every time so that we mm-hmm. don't have a lot to clean up later.
Right.
So those are some of the things that intentional parenting does. Intentional parenting means I'm going to be very intentional about how I spend my time with my child, what mm-hmm. we're learning. Even when we're driving, we're doing numbers, we're doing letters, like we're singing, you know what I mean? It's fun for her. And if I stop, she'll keep going without me.
Right.
Right? So it's about, those are trees, Kayla. That's an airplane, Kayla. That's another car. That's a truck. This morning we were going, that's a truck. And so every time she saw one, she'd go, Mommy, that's a truck. Right? And so she just wants to make the sound, right? And so for
right.
me, it's about making sure that she recognizes a truck when she sees one. Her dad mm-hmm. drives one. So I want her to know, that's a truck.
Right.
That's a big old truck, right? And so she's always been airplane, bird. So she, mm-hmm. It's about making sure that the world that she knows is recognizable to her.
Right.
And we walk around so glib. We have so many kids. You were like, well, you didn't see the piece of paper you stepped over? Nope. Right? And that's a real thing. Like, even as adults, we don't see things that we step over. We just kind of do it because it's automatic.
Yeah.
Something's in the way. We step over it. But mm-hmm. I want her to be able to recognize that's trash.
Right.
Or at least ask me, Mommy, is this trash? Is this supposed to be on the floor? And so mm-hmm. it's those types of things, no matter what age, and it changes as they get older, but making sure that she understands and she recognizes what's going on in the world around her.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely think that makes such a big difference in just how the child will turn out in the end. I'm not saying that they're going to be the perfect child, but just what you put into your child, it really does come out. They will probably be more respectable to their peers, to elders, and then they would probably help. It would help them to make better decisions just in life. Okay, I know that I shouldn't be doing this, so why am I going down this path? Let me turn around because my parents taught me better and I know better.
Right, absolutely. And it doesn't have to just be learning things. It could just be success habits, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't sleep till the last minute. We don't. We don't sleep until we're rushing out the door. Intentional parenting means I make sure that you're up in enough time to where if you need a minute to kind of shake off the woozies, that you can. But you have to get up. We don't sleep until 12 o'clock on Saturdays. Even now, I mean, and my mother didn't do it in an intentional parenting way. She did it in a you're not going to be lazy way, right? And so by 7 o'clock to this day, I'm still up and showered. no matter what, Saturdays, Sundays included. Even if I go back to bed, I'm ready for whatever the world is going to throw at me by 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
someone said to me a while back, wealthy people get up 3 hours before they have to leave.
Yeah.
And I'm like, 3 hours? Like, okay, I shower, get dressed, do my hair, put on some makeup, make some breakfast, eat some breakfast. Yeah, I can do that in less than two, right?
Right.
But wealthy people don't wait until they have to run out.
Mm-hmm.
If something takes an extra 5 minutes, they're not worried.
Right.
And so I want to instill that in her.
Yeah, it definitely makes such a big difference allowing yourself to have that extra time, because you're not going to be stressed. You're not going to be frantic and then probably forget something on your way out. So it kind of sets your day up for success.
Absolutely. And then prayer time. Prayer time is another intentional
That's
parenting
true.
Moment. You know, when we read, sometimes it is a princess book, right? But
mm-hmm.
usually it's a Bible story.
Mm-hmm.
And when Kayla gets scared, it's, okay, well, let's pray. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I know why you're scared. I know that, you know, we were getting on a roller coaster this past Saturday, or Ferris wheel, and we get on it, and it's swinging. And she's like, oh, no, I don't know what's going on here, but this is not good.
Okay.
and I'm kind of laughing, but I'm like, okay, Kayla, let's pray, right?
Oh.
Because I want her to know, because up until she's about seven, her word for God is mommy. Right? But
mm-hmm.
I want her to know that mommy has a word for God too. And so it's let's go and let's pray. Let's be intentional about setting our day. God, thank you for
mm-hmm.
such a wonderful night of sleep. Now protect us through our day. We can't take that for granted, right? And not taking
mm-hmm.
God for granted is a great way for her not to take mommy for granted.
Right.
And so just
so
setting her up, everything is intentional.
So what about the parents who may be working extreme shifts, so they may only be with the child probably like 10 to 20% of the day? How are they able to implement this and still get a good result or a good effect from intentional parenting?
I think that when no matter what the time is, put your phone down. Right, and we're all guilty of this, right? Because I work,
mm-hmm.
I'm self-employed, and so my phone is attached to me all the time. And so sometimes, and that's where my village comes in a lot, put the phone down, put the computer down, turn it off, set it aside, whatever the case may be, and look your daughter in the eye, look your son in the eye, have a conversation. How was your day?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that I need to know, right? So who did you spend time with? Okay, great. Where did you guys sit? How did you guys sit, right? Because we, unfortunately, in this world, we have to be concerned about our children being touched inappropriately and things like that. So
yeah.
I want to know, how did you sit?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Did you guys sit on the floor? Oh, wow. Did you crawl on her? You did. Show mommy, right? And
mm-hmm.
so, and you can do that as a teenager. A friend of mine said that she learned so much about her child by playing a game of Uno, because they tell you
mm-hmm.
everything. So she just asked, so who was that person? Oh, my goodness,
yeah.
What are they into? What do they do? What do they like to do? Are they going to go to school? Are they a good student? And so, no, they're not. Why not? Oh, because she's always trying to kiss Billy. Oh, really? Well, who have you kissed? Have you kissed Billy? All the girls are kissing Billy? You know what I mean? So you need to know.
Right.
Having conversations with your kids helps you prepare them.
Mm-hmm.
It lets you know what they know. It lets you know what they don't know. It lets you know who they're developing into, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not about saying, get out the kitchen so I can hurry up and cook. It's, hey, come in the kitchen. I'm going to sit you right here with this bowl. I'll sit Kayla on the floor with a bowl of peaches. I know it's going to be a mess afterwards.
Right.
I know this. Right? And I know that it's a great possibility that the entire bowl of peaches is going to end on the floor and we won't even have
yeah.
peaches for tonight. Right?
Right.
So, I've learned to just give her one peach, right, and let her just stir it so that she's helping mommy, because this is what we do. We cook.
Mm-hmm.
We cook. We don't go out to McDonald's all the time. We cook here. We take time to learn something new every day. And
mm-hmm.
so a lot of times parents will go, well, I work. I don't have time. If
right.
you have time to watch TV, you have time to talk to
right.
your child. If you have a boyfriend, you have time to talk to your child. Because you're talking to that man, you can talk
mm-hmm.
to your child. And granted, you may need some adult conversation, but you have that at work too. So talk to him on your lunch break so that you can talk to your kid at night.
There you go. And I definitely agree with having engaging activities, interacting activities, where it's not like just, hey, come sit over here and let's talk. But it's more of building the relationship and building the conversation on top of that. So
absolutely,
like a game of Uno or going outside and playing some basketball or walking in the park, just different things, because it's building a childhood memory that they're going to remember. I remember me and my mom, we always used to play Uno. We always went for a walk in a park on Sunday, and that
right.
helped to build that open communication as well.
And listen, for me, you know, weight loss is an issue. It always has been. And so for me, I'm like, when I'm playing with Kayla, I'm doing, you know, curls, and she loves being my curl bar, right?
Yep.
If my mom and I are trying to work out, she's in the way. Okay, great. I'm trying to do push-ups. You want to sit on top of mommy? This is going to be bad for both of us, but
mm-hmm.
we're going to try these push-ups. You know what I mean? And she's thinking that we're just playing a game. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get older, it does change. When, you know, I work with teenagers every day. And so I do understand that there's a different type of connection. And a lot of times, unfortunately, as women, we connect with our daughters through shopping.
Right.
We connect with them through gossip. Right. And that sets up our kids to be people who talk about other people, to be people who focus on stuff and not stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean they focus on shoes, purses, cars, as opposed to character, integrity, honesty, right? And so
right.
understanding that what we value in ourselves and what we value in our conversations with our kids will be what they value. So when we say, my child is ungrateful, my child mm-hmm. is entitled, then we have to think about what role we played in it
right,
and correct
right.
that action. It's always okay to course correct, but it's not okay to live a lie. And so where we say, you know, don't smoke, you know, smoking is bad, or we say don't smoke weed. It's really
mm-hmm.
what we tell our kids. Don't smoke weed, even though we smoke. We tell our kids don't sleep around, and it's going to hurt somebody's feelings. We tell our kids don't sleep around, but we got a different uncle, like, three times a year, right? Whoever mommy's dating is Uncle so-and-so now.
Right.
And they know that that's not your uncle, that that's not their uncle. You know what I mean? You sleep
mm-hmm.
in the room with mommy, you really can't be an uncle, right? and so leading with integrity really makes a difference in how we
mm-hmm.
communicate and have intentional parenting with our kids.
Mm-hmm. So how can... Because I know that you focus on creating the life that you want, envisioning the life and creating it the way that you want it. So how can parents and children, their children, both work together so that they can create the life that they want?
Okay, so the first thing I would say is have a vision board that everyone participates in. You have a family vision board. You have each individual person has a vision board, right? Because what I want for me is not necessarily what we want as a family, right? I might
right.
want to go to school, you know, and I might want to go to school across the country, whereas mom is never leaving California. So it's about... Let's set some goals for the family. You want to play sports. You want to, you know, whatever it is you want to do, you take the time to set that intention, be very clear, write it down, because if it's not in writing, it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
You create vision boards, which is a very fun activity for everyone to do together, right? And by vision
mm-hmm.
boards, I mean you take pictures and words that describe your life, that describe your family, and you set them up together. And then you guys discuss the route to get there. You discuss how you're going to get there. As a mom, it's my job to say, okay, Kayla, you want to be an astronaut? Okay, great. Astronauts watch science programs. Astronauts are good in math, so we're going to make sure that you know your numbers. We're going to make sure that you watch science programs. We're going to make sure that you know about this stuff. And so it's about taking them on that journey and creating an environment where they can thrive in it.
And that's really good because, of course, a lot of children, they come up with, you know, great ideas on what they want to be, but those are just, they only see the surface of that job or whatever. They might not know the details of what it actually takes to get there and how to operate in that job aspect.
Not just about what do you want to be, it's about what you want to have. Because a lot of kids want to be a teacher, but they want to have a mansion. Probably not going to happen, right? But what you can be is a child advocate and have a mansion. Teachers don't make mansion money. Child advocates do. So what is it that you want to teach? Why do you want to teach that? And so it's about taking what they want and then plugging the holes in the story, right? Because, you again, most teachers will never have a mansion. And so it's and then also financially, okay, well, do you buy your mansion first or do we buy rental property first?
Right?
Because if you buy the house first, you probably never will get the rental property. But if you buy the rental property first, your likelihood of having the house afterward is very good. So it's just about knowing and plugging those things in. But a lot of times, and one of the biggest lessons I've learned as the mother of a daughter is to let our kids explore. To let them explore, because I want to raise a pioneer, not a settler.
Right? Not someone who's told what to do all the time and they just follow the orders.
Right. And in the Black community, unfortunately, we tell our kids, you know, sit down, be quiet, don't make me look bad, act like you have some sense, right? And to an extent, that's great parenting. But to another extent, it can be taken too far and we put limits on our kids. So we end up telling them to reach for the sky. And then we put a ceiling on top of them and never let them see that the sky is actually out there. And so as a result, we have a whole bunch of eagles with chicken mentalities, right? A bunch of eagle capabilities, but chicken mentalities. And so you can't fly because all you know is the cluck. And that hurts our kids, right? That hurts them. It puts a cap on what they're able to do. And sometimes we are the ceiling because we haven't gone further than that and we can't see how our kids are going to make it to that, right? A lot of parents really can't see their kids being an astronaut. They can't see their kids outside of their block, let alone outside of their universe. And so we have to learn to grow with our kids and let them explore so that they can become people who are not afraid to explore. When we tell them, stop, 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 okay, well, I get that if they're sticking their finger into a light socket, but why they can't play in the mud? So at 1 year old, I don't put anything on Kayla that she can't get dirty. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's her Easter Sunday dress. Get it dirty. It's okay. We got a whole other change of clothes. We took our pictures this morning before we left the house. So go play and do whatever you want, right? She's 1 year old. She can only wear that dress maybe three times at the most anyway because she's going to outgrow it. And so taking the limits off and letting our kids be eagles and understanding that we don't have to be chickens either. And that's how we elevate our kids. When everybody in the house knows that they're eagles, then we don't have time to deal with chicken stuff, right? We eagles don't even look above them because nobody else is higher than them. Chickens are always looking out because they don't know which one of them is going to come up missing, right? One of them about to end up at Wingstop in a minute, right? So, but nobody does that. Eagles are even protected, right? Society protects eagles. It's illegal to hunt one. And so it's about raising them And, you know, I grew up in impoverished communities, and, you know, Compton, Watts, Linwood, Long Beach, you know, South Central LA, that's my area. That's where I grew up. And so there were a lot of limitations, but I grew up in a family that said, we don't deal with limitations.
Right.
And that's not that everybody in our family is living a thriving life. It's that mm-hmm. everyone in our family has the opportunity to.
Mm. Kiana, you have provided such valuable information. And I just want to ask, is there any kind of takeaway for parents that they can follow after listening to this podcast with you?
Yes. I would say, I'll give you three things. That parents can take away. Number one, lead by influence and not by position. A lot of times we go, I'm the mama, you do what I say, and mm-hmm. that's it. I'm the person with the belt, you do what I say, and that's it. I'm the person with the car keys, the house keys, you do what I say, and that's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not leadership, that's dictatorship.
Right.
And so when you can influence your child by the way you live, when you can influence your child by the way you communicate with them, that's true leadership.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about leading. We all work for people who are not leaders, right? We're like, why mm-hmm. is she the manager? She can't get people to fill up a water bottle. It's like, why is she the manager? But you do what she says, not because you respect her, but because she is the positional leader. Right?
Right.
But then we all know that person in our department that says, come on, you guys, let's just go fill up the water bottles. And everybody follows that person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because that person has influence. And so you want to be the parent who all of your children want to come to. You want to be mm-hmm. the parent that their friends want to come to.
Mm-hmm.
That's influence. And that makes great leaders. That makes your children great leaders. Okay.
Right.
The second thing I would say is understand that your child is a person with their own thoughts, their own concerns. They're not robots.
Mm-hmm.
They're not dolls that we can dress up and have them sit pretty until we come back to them. They have to be heard. Your children have to be heard. And sometimes they're going to say no. And I just told Kayla this morning, okay, I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. Go sit on the pot. Right? Because
right.
I have to teach her that, you know, using the restroom and it's something that she has to learn, and she's ready to learn it because she's always trying to take me to the pot, right? And so go get on your potty. But someday she's just like, Mom, you know, she's like, Mommy, no. And mm-hmm. I can tell that it's not a defiant no. It's just, I really don't want to do this. I really don't mm-hmm. want to go. And so understanding that she has her own personality and her own thoughts, and so she's going to feel differently about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay, you know, and as they get older, dealing with teenagers, of course, they're going to feel differently about it. And so to hear them out, and sometimes you're going to tell them, okay, I heard you, now go do it anyway, but hear them out because sometimes
right.
you'll learn something. And then the last one is give your child freedom within your parameters. And I just talked about us being the ceiling to our kids sometimes, but sometimes mm-hmm. we do have to set parameters. You know, there are times when kids want to date, right? And so mm-hmm. you have a parameter of what age they can date.
What time they need to be back home.
Right. Now, you can go to the mall, and you can go through all these stores in this mall, but you can't leave the mall property. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so letting them have the freedom within the parameters. You don't have to sit and watch every little step. I think a lot of teenage parents do this, and they do it backwards. You don't have to watch every little thing that they do. You give them freedom, and unless they betray the freedom, then keep giving them freedom. Because you
mm-hmm.
can't have responsibility and not have freedom. In the same way, you can't have freedom without a set of responsibilities. So
right.
you have to learn how to allow your kids a little bit of room so that they can explore, so that they can get things wrong. Because half of us learn to be great people by all the things that we should have got whoopings for, but nobody knew, right?
Right.
So we want to make sure that we give them freedom within parameters and then expand the parameters as they grow.
Mm. All right, Kiana, you have provided such valuable information. And me, just being a new parent, I can definitely still take this information and just use it in my daily life along with other mothers who are listening to this podcast. So how can mothers get in contact with you if they just want to ask you a question or if they want some guidance for their daily life? How can they connect with you?
Oh, wow. Okay. So for guidance for your daily life, Project Me, Manifest Excellence, is something I'm working on with Ebony Combs, who is My Black is Beautiful brand ambassador. And we are creating Project Me, and it will launch in April. So you can connect with me and join that. And it's really about taking a journey 6 weeks to being a completely changed person, to being a better you. And so that is definitely a way to connect with me on that. And you can also email me, coachkiana@gmail.com. I am a life coach, a master life coach, so I do field a lot of questions. So feel free to ask me whatever, and we'll talk and do a consultation. And if counseling is needed or coaching is needed, then, of course, we can go forward. And then connect with me on Twitter, Coach Kiana Shaw on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn under Leadership Academy, Kiana Shaw Leadership Academy. And then I'm also on Facebook. You can join the Leadership Academy page. And I'm also Kiana Shaw on Facebook. So,
all right. So there you have it. And I will have all of Kiana's information in the show notes. So if you did miss anything, then you can just check it out there.
All right, Radiant Mothers, so you have just heard from Coach Kiana Shaw with Leadership Academy. And did she not provide some valuable tips on how you can take your relationship with your child and turn it into something that is meaningful and intentional? Your child is an eagle, and it is deemed by design to become an eagle. So do not place a ceiling on your child. Do not set up limits that restrict your child from being the person, the eagle, who they were meant to be, because they were destined to fly and they were destined to soar. And also, don't forget to check out momswithdreamsuniversity.com and check out the classes that Erica Gordon has put together for you ladies, because she did a phenomenal job in putting together the right expert instructors to make sure that you are touched in every aspect of your life. So until next time, stay radiant and let your light shine.